from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at the Streetlight Kitchen and Bar at Drexel Brook for Tour de Delco, brought to you by Visit Delco PA. People say Delco is a lot, and they're right. Find out all Delco has to offer at visitdelcopa.com. My father-in-law had the cheesesteak egg rolls. He said A+. Yeah. He told me I should break vegan to eat the cheesesteak egg. I'm deciding not to do it.
Yeah,
but with you never know.
With such disappointment in his eyes.
Though. Yes. Well, you know what? What are you going
to
do?
He wants you to be a meat man again.
Look, maybe one day I'll have something against cows and I'll want to take them all down. But until then, I'll let everyone else try the cheesesteak egg rolls.
There it is.
Elliot Shore Parks joins us. He is sponsored by Groundworks. BQ Basements and Concrete is now Groundworks. New name, same great service. Foundation repair, basement waterproofing, and crawl space experts. To book your appointment, go to groundworks.com. Thank you for coming all the way to Delco, Elliot.
Look, anytime you can wake up and see the person you're visiting encouraging people to come boo you. I think you got to drive 45 minutes to show up. So happy to be here.
Well, that's showbiz. You get one of the dogs over there. Does Kingsley need
Well, they're starting to bark, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Getting the dogs going.
Yeah. So, you know, the thing I wanted to start off with, we're getting toward the end of camp today.
Last practice of camp is tomorrow.
Yeah, so we're sort of getting to the point where you've seen what you're going to see. The big question for me, defense, take what you thought before you started watching camp in preseason and now. Is the defense better off or worse off than you thought?
So I think they're better off in the back seven, definitely, than I thought heading into camp. The biggest takeaway on the defensive side of the ball for me through the first 15 practices would be the linebackers. It looks like a year Howie hit on the linebackers. I think when you look at his history, he is normally pretty hit or miss. Like, you either have, you know, Cunningham out there last year, or you have TJ Edwards, Kaiser White. Like, he has had really good years and really bad years. It looks like this is going to be a good year at the linebacker position. But today, I thought, was a really encouraging day for the defensive line. They have started to pretty consistently live in the backfield, getting after Jalen, breaking up running plays. And what's encouraging about it is it's everybody. It's not like Bryce Huff is consistently beating Fred Johnson, and that's why they're getting pressure. Jalen Carter is just a monster, and he's, you know, the one getting pressure every day. It's been pretty spread out, and the linebackers have been involved as well. So I was higher on the defense than most going into camp, but I feel better about them going into camp than I did going into camp.
Yeah, just another way to support your take from earlier in the summer.
It's pretty clear they didn't need to draft Quinyon. It's awesome that they have him, but when I go through 15 practices, again, today, the right guard spot, a major issue.
There it is.
I bet in camp the starting five offensive linemen have taken less than 100 snaps together. So
you're probably right.
So that's an issue going into the season. And part of the reason that is,
you think a rookie guard was going to make a difference?
Yes, I think a rookie guard would have made a major difference.
Over guys that have already been proven in the league.
Well, they don't have any of those guys. They don't
Steen didn't play very much last
Steen
year.
Steen played one game, and of like 130 right guards in the league, he was ranked 120th in passing.
Sure, but he was a rookie last
year. I know,
year.
But it was a bad game. Yeah. Mekhi Becton's never played the position and can't stay healthy. Mm-hmm. So if you got here we go with draft talk. If you would have gotten a great right guard at number 21.
You're not going to get a great right guard at 22.
Yes, the guard you drafted 21 could come in and be the best right guard in the league next season. At that position, I think they could.
Sure, he could be.
Yeah, he could be. Yeah, it's easier to do than it is at corner.
We've done this exercise.
I know.
We've done this exercise.
But it's even more clear after watching this team.
And the players at their best, one position is more valuable than the other. I don't want to get caught up on that because I got some other important things to talk about.
I think
about.
It might be guard, but.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Please.
Yes. Don't worry. We're moving
on. Okay. All right.
Linebackers.
Yes.
So Vic Fangio talking about the LBs yesterday and the idea of possibly rotating.
Yes.
So, first of all, I'm gonna get your thoughts on that. Do you think they should go with two? Or do you think they will wind up finding a way to get these guys to play? And then I'll give you my thoughts on it.
One thing that's really stood out to me about the linebackers in camp is outside of just Nakobe and Trotter playing well.
Yeah.
They have used more packages without Devin White on the field than I expected. I still think Devin White is going to play, 85-90% of the snaps. I think he'll lead the team in snaps. So I'm not coming off of that. But I thought going into camp, he would be on the field every single snap. Third down, first down, every single snap. There have been more packages than I expected where it's Zach Bond and Nakobe, or even Trotter and a Zach Bond. So they have been trying different things out. That could just be it's training camp. They want to see different guys out there. But they have definitely been mixing and matching, especially in the past few days. I mean, Trotter is pretty consistently every day getting some reps with the first team. Nakobe has cut in to, I think, Zach Bond's snap. So they are definitely rotating guys around more than I expected.
Well, here I see a little bit of a problem here. I don't like the fact that Devin White doesn't seem to be heavily involved in the defenses as far as being the guy out
there.
So
he is heavily involved. I just thought he'd be on the field every snap.
I'm with you there. That's pretty much what I'm saying.
Yeah, they seem more open to doing different combinations.
Lots of sub packages.
Yes, exactly.
So, we use sub packages under Jim Johnson almost yearly. There was a year where I played the Joker position, which was an off-the-ball linebacker that would sometimes run line stunts with the lineman up front, as well as having two guys playing stack linebacker. That was our third down defense. And then once Jeremiah left in 2021, I became the nickel linebacker. So we had different packages. You had a first and second down group of guys. That was Barry Gardner, Levon Kirkland, Carlos Emmons. Mm-hmm. And then when we would get to either second and long, third and long, obvious passing down situations, that's when I was brought in to play linebacker. So, and that happened over the next 3 years consistently. So I say that to say the veteran coordinators, they have a great understanding of the system that they want to run and how they want to use players, won't have a problem rotating guys. So I wouldn't be concerned that we don't have two inside linebackers that are going to be out there all three downs. Like, sub-packaging is the way the NFL is going. They're trying to get as many athletes on the field as possible. And they're at that position, you rarely find a guy that can play all three downs, meaning he's good against the run and he's good in coverage. So using sub packages could be something they wind up doing this
year. Well, and I also think that one thing that stood out is when you have an experienced coordinator, to your point, they're able to do a lot of sub packages, but they can do it without messing things up.
Yes.
I haven't seen substitution issues. I haven't seen guys running on and off the field. One thing they have really emphasized in camp, and this is why I think Nick Sirianni is having a great training camp and another great practice today, is they have had specific sessions of practice where they practice running on and off the field and subbing, quick subbing. Like, if the offense is going quick, still getting your defensive packages out there. That was an issue for him last year. I thought Patricia, they looked lost. So Fangio, we can break down his X's and O's and his scheme, but I just think his ability to sub in and out different packages and have them all prepared has been clear so far.
Obviously, you are a linebacker in the NFL who did this, so you have a better perspective on it than I do.
Well, I have tracked all 15 practices.
Even both of you, I think about, boy, that seems like a lot to worry about, especially in the first half of the season with four linebackers who have really never played. If we're talking about Trotter, Nakobe, Bond, and Devin White, who've really never played together with a defensive coordinator they've never played for, it just seems like a lot, you know?
That is the one drawback.
Yeah.
That can't be overlooked. The familiarity of the defense does matter.
Yeah.
When I was doing those things, I was a fifth-year linebacker, fourth-year linebacker, had been in Jim's system for a couple of years. So I had a chance to learn behind guys like Carlos Simmons, Sean Barber, guys like that, to where I was able to step in there with no problem. I'd been the second-team linebacker for 3 years, so I was running these defenses already in practice. So that is a big difference versus having Jeremiah, who's just coming from Clemson.
Yep.
And it really is the first year for all these guys
in this
defense. So you're right. That could present an issue. The one thing I like about our young guys, I think they are better suited from a intellectual standpoint, a natural position playing standpoint. Zach Bond is somebody who's being tried out at this spot. Hasn't had a whole lot of history of playing stack linebacker, reading guards, getting off blocks. He's more used to rushing up the field after the quarterback. Devin White, as much as I'm excited about him being here, when you're an undisciplined player, sometimes it's hard to coach those guys because you don't know where he's going to be at, and he can hurt the defense by shooting gaps and guessing.
By the way, especially when they're making all of these changes from package to package to package and they don't know where he's going to be.
So I think N'Kobe and Jeremiah are more like the cerebral linebackers that seemingly understand where they should be at and what they're doing.
The only issue with – because I agree, but the only issue with those two being it is you – it's hard to have them on the field at the same time.
Yes.
Because other teams will get them matched up one-on-one in matchups Eagles don't want, and neither of them are great man-to-man coverage linebackers. Whereas Zach Bond, Devin White's not great at it, but Devin White is a great athlete. Zach Bond has long arms and a long body. There's a real world where if you have N'Kobe and Trotter out there and, let's just say you're playing the 49ers and they get Christian McCaffrey lined up on one of those, that's a major problem. So I agree that I think Trotter and N'Kobe – I mean, they're like natural-born linebackers. That's like what they were built to do. Mm-hmm. So I think they can handle the football IQ of it. They just have physical limitations. I think they have them both out there together.
I agree. But, and you got to have that because these offenses will spread you out. I mean, offense, the game is now about finding a mismatch somewhere.
Sure.
And he's right. If you got N'Kobe out there, offense decides to motion the running back out. Right. Well, N'Kobe's either going to be on that running back or he has the tight end.
And this is
at 5'10"? 5'11"?
They're zone linebacker. They're zone coverage
linebackers. Zone coverage guys.
Yeah. But this is a concern, and I think we all feel better about the coordinators this year. But last year, a big concern for the team was they had two new coordinators. And if you look at the history of teams with two new coordinators, they don't win the Super Bowl. It's just hard to implement two new schemes in one offseason.
Dude, you did this yesterday with the O-line. I'm not accepting doom and gloom.
It's not doom and gloom. It's reality.
You just try to tell us we're not winning the Super Bowl this year.
Well, history says that when you have two new coordinators, you do not win the Super Bowl. Now, the Eagles are a bit of a unique situation. They have a very talented linebacker. They didn't fire their head coach, thank God. But they did. They do have two new schemes going in. So if it's something we all have to accept.
Yeah.
It is going to be hard.
We're not lowering our expectations if that's what you're trying to prepare us for.
Well,
that's not happening.
I'm actually with Elliot.
I'm with Elliot, too.
What do you guys want to go 9-8 this year?
Jack loves lowering expectations, so he's right at home.
Y'all want to go 10-7?
Just win the division. That's a good year.
Just win the division.
The over-under is 10.5 wins. Will Brinson, I saw him have it at 9 wins.
Who the hell's Will Brinson?
Bill Barnwell said they're one of the 5 teams in the league that they could take a step back from last year. That I don't know.
Will Barnwell said that?
He did.
What did Ike Reese say?
How many snaps in the NFL did Bill Barnwell
take? I said we're going from 12-5 to 13-4.
Now we're at 13-4.
That's where we're at.
You were at 11 2 weeks ago.
That was 3 weeks ago before the Jalen press conference when training camp started. I've been feeling good ever since Elliot, thanks to Elliot.
Well, he set the record.
It's been the greatest training camp in football history.
Yes.
Yeah, and nobody's playing Saturday, so I can feel free to go ahead and get my prediction. Yes, 13-4.
Wow. That's right.
The new Eagles hype man.
That's right. No, no one better at giving Eagles a chance. Elliot, do you believe that Jalen has to throw an interception tomorrow?
Well, look.
I actually hope he does so I can get this over with.
Well, it's over tomorrow either way.
Well, and he's already broken the record. Can't he just throw one so we can move on?
No, I don't get – so tomorrow –
think about the pressure that's on him if he
– yeah,
I agree. That Green Bay game.
What if he never throws another interception?
That would be outstanding. And everybody loves to be like, oh, who cares? The training – da, da, da. If I would have told you, in all seriousness, prior to training camp, he wouldn't throw a single interception all camp. People would have called me crazy. They would have said he had a bad end of the season. The offseason was good. They have a new system. If he doesn't throw an interception tomorrow, he will have pitched the perfect training camp. 16 practices, no interceptions, over 330 attempts. That can't be overlooked. People can hate on the stats all they want. He has gone through an entire camp and taken care of the ball. That's the most encouraging thing about this team. So it absolutely matters. And no, I don't want him to throw an interception tomorrow, because tomorrow, if he does it, this will be something I will remember for the rest of my life.
That is the craziest thing
I will.
Anyone has ever said.
I guarantee you.
You are sick, man.
I buy it. You do this.
No,
you do this. I buy into the training camp stats, but then you just said it's one of the most special things you've ever seen in your life.
No, I said it's one of the things I will remember the rest of my life.
Okay, where do you rank it in terms of your wedding?
I mean,
is this more special than
my wedding was unbelievable, and I'll remember that for the rest of my life as well.
Okay,
But I mean, in all seriousness, if I'm lucky enough to work at this station for however long, I will be bringing this up as a training camp that we all remember.
It matters. It does matter.
If he had 10 interceptions, people would be, oh, he turns it over too much. So
I agree with that. I just don't think it's special.
But we've never seen it. We've never seen it.
Well, we don't know.
No, we've never cared to monitor it.
We only know 10 years of it.
Okay, I dare any beat writer to tell me an Eagles quarterback has never thrown an interception.
Oh, you mean from an Eagles quarterback?
Yes.
Okay, thought you meant in.
No, I would honestly.
You don't think anybody ever.
I bet you nobody at 300 plus attempts.
Football.
Yes, I honest to God would bet my life that no quarterback has thrown 300 plus attempts, no interceptions in a training.
Well, then you know what? I'm going to need to check.
Put money down on MVP right now, man.
Oh God.
Well, 1600.
Well, you should put his money on two interceptions week one.
Yeah. Yes. You know what I need then? I'm going to need the check down Charlie report. Because here's my only is that, okay, he may not have thrown an interception. Maybe that's never happened in camp before. Do any of us think that Jalen Hurts is a better thrower than every other quarterback in the history of training camp? Of course not. So you have to ask yourself, why has he not thrown even one interception?
First of all, practice today, he had two completions, 30-plus yards down the field, one to A.J., one to Devontae. So he is throwing the ball down the field. But outside of that, I don't need Jalen to be Josh Allen. I don't need him to be Patrick Mahomes. I don't need him to have the best arm in the history. What I need him to do is get the ball to Devontae, A.J., and Saquon. So you are right. There are other – look, Carson in 2017.
And Goddard sometimes.
And Goddard sometimes.
When he's allowed.
Carson in 2017 had a better training camp. It was more impressive. He has an arm that is it was just a better arm.
Yeah, right? Keep talking.
But Jalen doesn't need to do that. So what I've seen from Jalen in camp is exactly the type of quarterback he needs to play. You can call.
He's a game manager.
You can he's a game manager. That's exactly what they need him.
Well, that's
to
fine. Yeah, they can win a Super Bowl with a game manager. It's happened before.
They almost did.
Yeah. So, Elliot, top of the show, we were talking about what the best rivalry in Philadelphia sports is.
Yeah.
My contention is that right now it is Philly's Braves. Is that the Cowboys Eagles rivalry is a lot of like feels like tradition.
Yeah.
Feels like, what's the word I'm looking for? You're just not going through the motions, but feels like body memory.
Pomp and circumstance.
Stuff. Yeah, it doesn't feel like a rivalry
it's
in the way
in a row for you.
that he got something right?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I don't think pomp and circumstance is actually the right thing.
No, that's a graduation
yeah,
song.
Yeah.
I guess ceremonial is what he means.
Yeah, ceremonial is more. I was just going to let it go, but
walk
you had
me.
To go celebrate him for it. What do you think the best rivalry in the city is?
You know, I hate to go chalk, but it's definitely Eagles-Cowboys.
No, it's not.
The Phillies and Braves is a nice fad, but nobody cares when they beat the Braves. They care that they won the playoff series. It wasn't about beating Atlanta. It was about advancing in the playoffs.
Well, it's tonight, because they both get in the playoffs, and they face each other in the playoffs.
Yes, but the Eagles-Cowboys game, it just means more in the city. I think that's really the best way you can put it. I hate to use that generic phrase, but as someone that is also in Dallas for these games, like it is just an intensity that is not there for Phillies Braves. The Phillies are
Have you been to Atlanta for a Phillies Braves?
I've not, but if you want to tell me that Atlanta has a good crowd, then we can have that debate.
Oh, they did almost kill Joe Giglio last year.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, Joe, it can
that's
be
because again, you put two IPAs in the guy, and he's trying to fight the entire city.
Well, that guy can't drink two IPAs.
I know.
Yeah, he's 100 pounds.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
I just think tonight would feel the same if it was the Nationals or the Mets. Tonight's about the standings. It's not about the Braves. The Eagles-Cowboys is about the opponent. I think the Eagles, frankly, have three rivals that are bigger than Philly's Braves.
What?
They have Cowboys, right,
yeah,
which is clearly bigger. But also the Niners, I think, is a bigger, more legit rivalry than Philly's Braves.
And that's one-year
rivalry. I think the Giants is a bigger rivalry than...
For sure.
Giants is dead.
No. See, but here's the thing.
I'm talking about right now. I'm not talking about in
yes,
history.
Yes, right now.
Right now, Giants-Eagles is not bigger than Phillies-Braves.
I disagree with
that. Dude, that playoff thing was the biggest joke we've ever seen.
There's the Saquon thing, which is a big part of it.
Yep.
Right?
So and you heard Saquon say, New York hates us.
That's part of it.
Yes. Phillies, Giants fans do hate us.
Phillies-Braves is...
Well, with whatever hate they have. Giants fans don't have very much energy for anything, if we're being honest.
Yeah, that stadium is the worst home environment I've ever seen.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Phillies-Braves is fun. It's not heated. It's a nice story. It's a fun thing to follow. It is not...
It's cute.
Yeah, exactly. It's
but if they lose to them in the playoffs this year, it will not be as cute.
But it would feel the same way losing to the Braves as it would the Mets or the Nationals or the Brewers. It would not feel the same losing to the Cowboys as it would like the Lions.
I agree.
I don't think losing to the Braves in the playoffs would feel the same as losing to the Brewers. I honestly do not.
And
you know, for you who celebrates the Eagles, I would posit that part of the reason that so much is determined by a regular season game like Cowboys-Eagles means that Phillies fans at this point have championship expectations, while the Eagles fans do not.
Well, Phillies fans can hope for a championship for sure, but it's just not the same.
What about Union versus Red Bull?
Yeah. It's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a nice...
How's that 9-year-old you got a jersey of? How's he doing?
14.
Okay.
He's doing great.
Wow.
He was the MVP of the MLS Next Up game, so he's doing good.
That's amazing.
The Union making a League Cup run, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah.
League Cup. Is that the thing that happens in the middle of the
season?
It's
like the in-season NBA tournament. Yeah.
Come on.
It's like three different Union seasons.
All right. I have a couple of big questions to run by Ike and Elliot next,
and
including Jack for the Eagles stuff. We sort of put you in the back because everybody's mad at you. I try to distance myself from you on the Eagles stuff because everybody's mad at you with it, including the most important player on the team aside from Jalen, the most likely to surprise everyone in a good way and a bad way. And we said, do you feel better or worse about the defense? I want to hear whether you feel better or worse about the offense. That is next. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at the Streetlight Kitchen and Bar at Drexelbrook for Tour de Delco, brought to you by Visit Delco PA. People say Delco's a lot, and they're right. Find out all Delco has.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Offer, visit DelcoPA.com. This is not on Kirk Cousins' playlist, is
no.
it?
No.
Just a Girl, good tune. good
yeah,
team.
Yeah, but not. You know.
Yeah, yeah. A little too old for Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins only likes songs that came out between 2000 and 2006.
Yeah, that was prime Kirk.
Oh, yeah. That is the best music time, too. Yeah.
Well, okay.
Of all time?
Yeah. No, I mean, probably, we're not doing this. I'm not doing this with him.
Why do you think that?
I'm not. It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Tortadelco stop at Streetlight Kitchen and Bar at Drexel Brook in Drexel Hill. Brought to you by Visit Delco PA. People say Delco's a lot, and they're right. Tomorrow we will be at Dining Under the Stars in Media. We'll be out in front of Spasso, the Italian restaurant, but we'll be outside. Seems like we're getting a nice day, too.
Today's weather's insane.
Feels like football's
weather.
Coming.
Oh, you walked outside.
Yep. Football. Morning. History was in the air.
The grass.
Yep. Yeah. Almost went long sleeps at practice.
Wow.
You almost went long
I almost
sleeves?
Did. I didn't, but yeah.
Would that affect the soccer jersey?
No, I have long sleeve soccer jerseys.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
Don't worry about it.
Thank God.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers, the official sponsor of the WIP Afternoon Show Fantasy Football League. Shop the home team, marks-jewelers.com. Is Phillies Braves the best rivalry in the city? It actually went down, which is kind of a bummer. I thought
That's
I could argue
shame.
It up.
I guess I swayed people.
26% say yes. You didn't sway anybody.
Yeah. 26%, the results say differently.
26. Is that what the results I'll say.
Well, let's not ask Twitter.
I don't want to. Jack, you want to explain the difference in correlation and causation?
Oh God, I have no idea. But I was trying to make a joke about the polygraph, how he dominated that.
Oh yeah. So we talked about defense, offense, better or worse than you expected based on your pre-camp expectations, both you guys.
I mean, it's a tough one. So, obviously, Jalen has been outstanding. And I think, ultimately, they will win and lose with the quarterback. So, if I had to pick a camp where either the offensive line struggled or the quarterback struggled, I would take the offensive line struggling. So, ultimately, I do feel better. But their offensive line, it's an issue. I mean, their starters have not gotten a lot of good reps together. I don't know how everyone feels about the Eagles' pass rush, but the Eagles' pass rush is consistently winning against this offensive line as camp has gone on. So, I would say I feel better about the offense. I think the Sirianni-Moore offense is coming together nicely, but the offensive line could be a problem.
Ike?
What's the question again?
Feel better about the offense or worse based on your expectations?
Oh, I feel better.
Yeah?
Yeah, I feel better about the offense. I mean, listen, I said Mekhi Becton would be our right guard. He's going to be the right guard when the season starts. It looks like we're going to get out of training camp with everybody
healthy.
Pretty much healthy. Jalen has had a good camp. My biggest issue coming in as far as offense was what was Jalen's mentality like coming into training camp?
Sure.
You know, does he still have this sort of guarded fence up where he isn't necessarily showing us the other side of himself? And so we've seen that prior to last year, and it's great to see him back to being that sort of personality around the guys. So that's a good sign for me. If his head is in the right place, his mental is in the right place, we're in for a great year on that side of the ball.
There was a moment in practice today that I think speaks to what you're talking about. Jalen hit, I think it was Devontae, down the left sideline for a touchdown. And Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was kind of talking trash, like, oh, you know, you haven't hit that all camp.
Shocker.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
But what I thought was noteworthy was Jalen, after the play, like walked across the field and hung out with like the secondary guys and kind of was jokingly like talking trash or whatever. Mm-hmm. But to your point, Ike, about, you know, putting himself out there, like reaching across the aisle, so to speak, it is something that I think is important. I've not seen him do that very often in camp. Go hang out with the defensive guys. Spend a whole kind of second team rep where Kenny's on the field over there with the defensive guys.
Oh, I'm so proud of him.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, whether it's performative, whatever, he's certainly putting an effort out.
I tell you, the guys, the quarterbacks I played with did that. They did. You know, Donovan was always joking with us on the defensive side, talking trash to a point in time. And he'd be like, get back over here. And Mike, for whatever reason, when I was in Atlanta, he just liked being around defensive guys at times. Like, he would make himself, you know, come over there, wander over there, and talk a little trash with D'Angelo Hall and some of those guys. But, yeah, that's sort of what you have to do. I hate to use the word politician, especially in a year like this year. But as a quarterback, that's really what you are.
Well,
you're a politician in the locker room. Yeah. And everybody has to like you.
And also,
most people.
Is he trying to do it? Is it natural to him? Probably not. But you can't ask somebody to improve on something, and then when they do, go, well, you're just doing that. Like, yes, he is just doing that.
He's making an effort.
That's exactly what he should be doing.
Yes, that's exactly. And here's the thing I would say, Elliot. I think he did more of it prior to last year. I mean, I keep going back to that 2022 year, and you watch them play. You watch that offense move. When they scored touchdowns, they had celebrations. They had handshakes.
Him and Nick had a handshake.
He was a part of all that stuff 2 years ago.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, last year, it was gone.
Well, remember in 2020, the whole thing was, oh, the locker room likes Jalen more than Carson.
Yep.
You know, Jalen.
He was a player's guy, yes. So, I totally agree.
100%. I mean, and, you know, to bring the Joel into this, like, Joel, I don't think, is a natural go hang out with the guys, go out to dinner guy. But you do hear his teammates talk about that as he's gotten older, he's put in more effort out to it.
Need like, to do it more,
I think
yeah.
it's something you have to do even if you're not comfortable doing it initially.
Yep. Yeah. I think it shows the other people on the team that you care because mm-hmm. you're trying. And sometimes, honestly, it's just about faking it. And
yes.
I don't mean that in a lying way. Is that, like, sometimes you have to be a different person depending on where you are and who you're with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so when we're at a public appearance, it doesn't mean that you're lying because you're a different person. But I'm certainly more outgoing and smiley and those sorts of things. And it doesn't mean it's fake. It means you're showing the people around you the respect of here's you know the way you should be when you're there.
Whereas in the office, you're terrible to be around.
I am a different person in the office. Here's
the other thing to the point that you're making, which I also think is important when you're a quarterback, when you're the best player on the team, a Bryce Harper, guys like that, Joel Embiid in his locker room. There's already, with pro players, somewhat of a inherent hierarchy. Guys get paid more. Mm-hmm. Their status is higher. You're the quarterback. We know that you're treated differently and you're viewed differently by the organization than we are. We're the expendables.
Right.
You're not going anywhere.
Right.
So you can't carry yourself that way. Else you alienate your teammates. You have to make your teammates feel like you're in the foxhole with them.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we know you hold a certain status, your teammates want to realize and know that, hey, you got as much skin in the game as I got in the game. I'm sacrificing, you're sacrificing. The one thing I'll say that you have to do is be open to the idea. When you're closed off from the idea of being around your teammates and going to hang out or what have you, it's never going to work. But it doesn't mean if Jalen doesn't want to go to a bar or a club, or it makes him a bad teammate. It means those teammates need to find things that Jalen is interested in, and then we need to come together and figure out, do we need to go bowling? Do you want to go play laser tag? You want to go golf? Like, those are things you can do, or you can have a night at the house with the fellas. It don't mean you have to go out to a club or do things that you aren't comfortable doing, but you can't shut yourself off from everybody else in the locker room.
Britton Covey had the quote last year, and I'm paraphrasing, but essentially saying, you know, Jalen can feel unapproachable at times. And I think what that is is when you're Britton Covey and you walk in that locker room, like, that's Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
Not only is he making $250 million, he's been on national TV for 4 or 5 years. So, to your point, like, I don't think it's about making sure you go out with them Friday and Saturday night. It's about going to their sideline and just breaking down that wall of feeling like they can't talk to you.
Yep.
So we will
from my experience in the locker room.
Yes. Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing.
Yeah.
In our business.
Same thing. Yeah.
I mean, I can't come in here and act like, well, I'm Ike Reese, this, and the other, and you guys are down here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hugh Douglas, same way, John Ritchie. So I think for us to be good teammates and for us to have a great working environment, we need to make you guys feel like we want to be a part of the crew, like we're a part of the team. We're not above you or this and any other.
Yeah. Well, even the football conversation, it's fine if we argue about a football thing, you go home and you're like, Spike does not know what he's talking about.
But
if you were to do that to our faces, all of a sudden, you wouldn't be able to have the conversation anymore. You know,
well, it's like when me and Jack talk baseball; it's different than when I talk to Ben Davis.
Right, the guy would never look down on Elliot. When
exactly.
He talks,
yeah.
You look down on all of us.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all right. We'll get to that in a second.
You don't have to get to it. I know what you're going to say.
Well, you know. I gotta say it. You said what everyone was expecting. All right, we will get Ike and Elliott's most important player on the Eagles, aside from Jalen, after I tell you about what you need to do about your windows. You know, it's replace them. They're old. They're drafty. You don't feel like dealing with it, but you got to deal with it now. Now is the best time to deal with it because now, if you go Guida, you can take advantage of their big summer sale. 40% off is a lot. Just think of a number. Think of 100. 40% off 100 is 40 off.
Wow.
That's sick, right?
What math?
It's just a lot when you think
about it. So much.
Yeah. Man, it's good.
All right, you idiots.
I'm just saying it's good.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff. Yeah,
40% off every window you buy when you go Gaida until the end of August. 40% off any doors, a front door, a sliding patio door, a garage door. And not just 40% off. You can buy now, pay later at Gaida. They got low monthly payment plans or interest-free financing up to 18 months. And if you wait till the fall, first of all, you're going to miss out on the big summer sale. Second of all, you're going to try to do it when everyone else is. Do it now. Be prepared for the winter. All prior sales excluded. This offer expires at the end of August. Call Gaida today to schedule a free in-home estimate at 877-GO-GAIDA or visit them at gogaida.com. That's goguida.com. Elliot, the one player who is most important on the Eagles this year, aside from Jalen Hurts, is...
So, I do truly believe it's probably an offensive lineman, but Jalen Carter, I don't think it's brought up enough about how he can completely change the defense, because I don't think Bryce Huff, Josh Sweat, Nolan Smith, like, they're good edge rushers. I don't think they're special edge
rushers. Is Nolan Smith a good edge rusher?
Nolan Smith, I shouldn't have included him in that.
Thank you.
But if Jalen Carter can be who he was for the first 8 games, for 17 games, then it makes that entire defense different, because he's collapsing the pocket up the middle. He's making life easier on the rushers. He's making life easier on the secondary guys. If Jalen Carter is only average this year, then everything could get ugly pretty quickly, because they don't have somebody that I think week in and week out you can count on for pass rush besides Jalen Carter.
And you?
I'm going Cam Jurgens.
Yeah.
I'm going Cam Jurgens. You know, I could have easily gone A.J. Brown. We know he's probably the best player on the team. But when I look at importance and significance, I think he and Jalen are sort of connected. They got to be on the same page. You've heard Jalen sort of speak about last year's issues with some of the communication and blitz pickups and those things. I'm not going to dive into that, because to me it becomes finger pointing and who's to blame and what happened. They need to be on the same page, Cam and Jalen, and understanding where they want to turn protection and what they want to do with it. So I would go with Cam Jurgens as the second most important person on the team.
One thing I didn't expect as they kind of transitioned from Kelsey calling the majority of the pass block and blitz pickup to Jalen is, I do think Jalen, whether he'll be good at it, we'll see, but I think he feels like he has more control of what's going on.
Yeah.
He's not reacting to what Kelsey's doing. He's not reacting to the line protection the line is calling. He's able to go to the line, and maybe it's not the right call, but at least he is very aware and confident of what's happening. So that is one thing I probably took for granted or didn't expect as much with him now having a larger role in that.
I think those are both good answers.
Thank you.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about Jalen Carter. And, you know, I think the interesting thing about Carter is everyone just, I think, sort of assumes that he'll be great. But I don't think there's enough of a resume to assume he'll be great. And we forget sometimes about how important Fletcher Cox was. Oh, no, the Dolan's crew has rolled in.
I know.
Yeah, I feel like...
Tensions are tight in the Drexel Bowl.
Yeah, I feel like this is like gang warfare or something.
They all got earpieces
too.
I thought the dude was dressed like Big Dom.
He's Delco Big Dom.
Oh, he is? Okay.
Yeah, that's my boy, Matty Ice.
Yeah. He does give that vibe.
Secret Service, yes.
Yeah, don't give them microphones.
He's got tape on the air.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, the other thing. Player you think will surprise people in a good way, and player that you're looking at as a, oh no, might surprise people in a bad way?
In a good way, so I think Jalix Hunt has definitely been better than expected. I actually think...
Making Trent Cole proud.
I think if the Eagles had to keep Nolan Smith or Jalix Hunt, they would keep Jalix Hunt.
Do you think he's going to play this year?
I think he's going to play this year.
Wow.
Yeah. I think he'll dress, because I think he can be a good special teams player, which will get him active on game day, and then he'll... What, you don't think he'll be a good special teams player?
No, it's just like I want a little bit more.
Well, but the first key for a rookie is getting
is
active
get on
game day. Yeah. So you have to be good at special teams to then play. So I think he is one. One guy who could disappoint this year, I mean, I'm going to go with Ike's guy, like Cam Jurgens, that he just said. I think it's big shoes to fill. I think he's a little under the category of we all assume he'll be good. But that middle of the offensive line could be a major problem for this team. And I think everyone's just assuming Cam will be good, and he could be for sure, but that would be the one I would be worried about.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I you know, Cam is a little bit bigger than Jason was as a player.
Faster now, too.
I'm not going to disrespect Jason and his greatness, but a lot of his greatness and status came the second half of his career. I can make an argument Cam may be further ahead of Jason at this same stage of their careers.
That's true.
Yeah.
Second or third year in the league.
Especially having a Jason as part of that development.
Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
So I'm not going to – again, I think Cam at this stage could surprise us a little bit there. I will go with I'm going to stay on the line. And I think Becton is going to be a great reclamation project.
Certainly talented.
I think.
Is he?
Talented? He has to
be. When the talent is there, I think the longer he stays under this coaching and this tutelage and these guys around him, I think the areas that he struggles in as a big man, I think those are going to become smaller and smaller as he continues to get the good coaching that he's going to get here.
So I think a good indication of how they feel about Becton will be, is he signed to an extension before the season? Because he's a one-year deal. If they feel
Before the season.
If they feel he is going to be, okay, we found something at guard, this can be a long-term starter, to your point, he's talented with Stoutland, then they should sign him before the season, like they did with Mailata. They signed Mailata to a long extension before he became the everyday starting left tackle. If they sign Becton, then I think they're obviously all in. If they don't, I think that then that shows they're in the camp of let's wait and see with what he's going to be.
215-592-9494, Yoshi in Brewery Town. You're on WIP. What's up, Yoshi?
Hello? Right.
You're always ready to go. I mean, what's this about?
Oh, because I was at work and I was about to do something else.
I can't hear him. Oh, I dropped him. That was an accident.
Wow.
Back at the studio. I meant to put him on hold. Did not mean to drop.
Hands up. You're a hand-up show.
Hand up. That's me. Chris in Middletown, you're on WIP.
Good day, man.
What up, Chris?
What's up, Chris?
What up? How's it going?
So here's the deal with this. Jack and Spike are right, and Ike, you're just wrong. And how you know and you should realize that you're wrong is Elliot agrees with you.
What is this about the rivalry?
I don't know what we're talking about.
The rivalry.
The rivalry?
Yeah. If Elliot agrees with you, it's a bad sign.
Yeah.
I would say Ben Davis agreed with me, too.
Mm. Yeah, that was hurtful.
Yeah, that was.
That was a tough one. Yeah, no one cared about the Phillies race 5 years ago.
And by the way, so does 80% of our voters also agree with me. So you're in the minority, Chris, with Spike and Jack.
Thank you.
That's okay. I'll be
Trailblazers.
Okay. I'll be with those guys any day because it's a weak rivalry with the Cowboys because the Cowbabies, they're not even a real challenge to us. I mean, they're soft. Their fans are soft.
How do you keep saying they're not a real challenge to us when they are the only challenge to this team in this division? What are you talking
they
about?
They did win the division last year.
What are we talking about?
Challenge for what? Are we going to parades like Elliott has for regular?
Well, I don't know. You act like we're having parades every year, like the Eagles win championships every year.
Yeah, well, they won one a lot sooner than the Cowboys.
What team was better last year? No, the Eagles were not better than the Cowboys. The Cowboys won the division last year.
Yeah, and how far did they get in the postseason?
As far as we did.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are just flat wrong with this. They're a weak
but I just think the difference is you wouldn't call during the offseason and make fun of the Braves. Like, you would call and say the Cow Babies, and they haven't won for forever.
Yes.
Braves, like, it's just different.
The Braves are a legit challenge. The Braves legitimately won a title a few years ago.
Phillies are up, what are they, 7.5 games up on the Braves right now?
Seven.
Yeah, the Eagles.
Yeah, how the Braves are a legitimate title?
They weren't alive when the Cowboys won their last World Series, probably.
So and yet everyone still brings it up.
About here, you're talking about, like, hey, a past team from the 1990s. I'm talking about a team that's a real contender now.
The Eagles and Cowboys are closer than the Phillies and Braves. The Phillies have a larger lead on the Braves right now than the Eagles ever had on the Cowboys last year. But also, the Cowboys
they've been 1-2 all years, and then 3 when we got into it in 2022. They're always a team we're contending against. We're always chasing the Braves
were the Braves this year are chasing us. That's a legit.
Then why can't the Eagles go to Dallas and win?
Rivalry, not some fraudulent one where like one team gets in a postseason, collapses, and we won the full parades because they're.
But it doesn't matter how good the Cowboys are for the rivalry. It doesn't matter how good the Braves are. It's about who you hate. No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. It's about who you hate more. It's about who you
hate more. No, it doesn't, Chris. It matters who you hate more. Who do you like to see lose more? Who do you hate to lose to more? And that's pretty simple.
You guys are moving the goalposts. You just said.
No, we're not moving the goalposts. We're telling you as a fan.
Weren't that good.
A rivalry is not about results. It's about who you hate. It's about emotion.
And that's where you're getting caught up at. As opposed to listening to the majority of your fan base that's telling you that they would hate to lose to the Cowboys more than they would the Braves. Like, it's an easy answer.
I don't care what the majority of the fan base does.
That's what I'm telling you. You're in the minority. Hold on, Chris.
Yeah.
Chris, your opinion is different than mine. We've already established that. You're not going to change my mind. I'm not going to change yours.
Correct.
But you trying to convince my listeners that the Braves and Phillies rival is bigger than the Eagles-Cowboys, you sound foolish. Just because it's more important to you doesn't make it more important to everyone else.
You're just mad that the Phillies are getting the shine right now. That's all.
I'm not mad about anything. I'm not that guy. And keep that with the midday show. I'm not that guy. You ain't been listening to me long enough to tell me I'm mad that the Phillies are winning. You sound silly. Come on, man. You do sound silly because you have an opinion that the majority don't agree with. And you can have that opinion.
That's fine that you don't care,
but what are you yelling about, though? You're wrong. Only thing that you're not wrong about, Chris, is that the rivalry of the Braves is bigger than you. You can't overtalk me. So you can stop trying to do that. The only thing you're not wrong about is that the Phillies-Braves rivalry means more to you. You're wrong about everything else.
Yes, it does. And you know what? But I can't convince you otherwise. It's a paper tiger.
I'm not trying to convince you. Cowboys. I'm not trying to convince you.
All right, good. Then we're good.
I'm not trying to convince you.
It sounds like me and Ike.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to convince
you. The hardest thing about those things is ending it, how it ends. You know what I mean? Like, everyone has to. All right, Chris, here's how I'm going to end it. You want to. Now, Chris wants to be in the afternoon show Fantasy League.
Wrong.
So, well, he's not in the midday show Fantasy League?
Well, Chris, you got to explain to us now, after that, he has to tell us why he's a big enough Eagles fan to be in there.
This will go well.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Yeah,
should have thought about that first. Should have thought about that first.
Thank you for the call, Chris. A good call from Chris. Chris went right in there, battled with Ike. I like it. I like that call.
I just don't think results matter. Like, yeah, I heard you say this about Celtics Sixers. The Celtics could beat the Sixers for 5 straight years, every year in the playoffs, and that just makes it a bigger rivalry.
I don't know what to tell you. The reason
the Giants were bigger rivals to Ike is because the Giants beat the Eagles a lot of years.
Yes,
it wasn't because it was like they won. It's because you're mad at them. I am telling you,
there is no juice between the Celtics and the Sixers because the Sixers never win. And it is not some underdog story.
What
team
do you hate the most?
No, football is different than every other sport. It's different. And 30 years ago, if the Eagles sucked and the Cowboys were good, we could make our season by winning those two games. Absolutely. That is not how basketball works. There is no one who thinks, okay, we can lose 78 games, but as long as we beat the Celtics 4 times, then we've had a successful season. Nobody thinks
that. Rivalries don't work different in different sports.
Yes, they do.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, they do.
A rivalry is about what the fan base, who the other fan base hates the most. Who's the team that they least like to lose?
It's not just about the fan base.
It's about the players, too.
It's about the players, too.
So you don't think the Sixers hate the team that beating them every year and they struggle against? Of course they do.
No, they don't, because it's a different team than was there last year. There's no history of it. The history of the Celtics and the Sixers
is
40 years ago. Joel Embiid doesn't
even feel. You're talking about the players.
Joel Embiid, specifically the best player on the team, said it is not a rivalry.
He's wrong.
That's a problem.
He's wrong.
That's a problem.
But he's wrong.
That's a problem.
He's not wrong.
He is wrong.
No.
It is a rivalry.
Hold on. He's wrong for viewing it that way, and that sounds more like he's giving up on trying to beat them.
Exactly.
So he's wrong for even saying that. A team that kicks my ass every year and puts me out of the playoffs, that's the team I'm focused on.
A rivalry.
That's the team I'm focused on.
A rivalry has to be two ways. It is not two ways with the Celtics and the Sixers.
Okay, so just like Chris just said,
yep.
Well, me and Elliot may be in the minority. What I'm saying, and I believe what Elliot is saying, the Celtics-Sixers series matters more to me than any other series the Sixers could play.
Well, that's fine.
So I'm in the minority. I can be in the minority.
But that's what Nona's rival
no.
is.
No. Yes,
I'm
it talking, is. Elliot, shut up for a second.
That is what a rival is.
Elliot, shut up for a second.
Go ahead.
I am talking about the biggest rivalry in Philadelphia, not the biggest rivalry for the 76ers.
I get that.
The fact is the 76ers rivalries are all useless because they suck, and they've sucked for years, and they haven't beaten any of their rivals. Their rival is literally any good team they play in the playoffs. They are not successful enough or bad enough to have a rivalry like we're talking about.
So losing to the Celtics hasn't hurt more than any other losses?
At this point, now, no. At this point, it just feels pathetic.
So I agree with, like, the Sixers' rival is the second round, right? I get that. But what I'm saying is we're talking about what makes a rival. The point I'm making is it doesn't matter the Celtics beat the Sixers all the time.
I agree.
It's still the team. Like, we talk about Jokic and Embiid.
And I hate
Embiid's biggest rival is Jokic. Would you agree?
Hate Antoine Walker.
No one ever brings up their head-to-head record when talking about the rivalry. It's about the fact that they're competitors, that the fan bases hate each other. The Jokic fans hate Embiid fans. That's what a rivalry is. It's not about the results. The results, if anything, fuel the rivalry. They don't change the rivalry and make it less meaningful.
They absolutely change the rivalry.
I'm with Elliot on this.
Oh, my God.
Well, Ike himself has said the Giants were the team for him because the Giants beat him all the time.
Yes.
Right, but he also acknowledged that because the Giants stink recently, that the rivalry is not as good as it used to
but
be.
But he still views the Giants as a bigger one because that feeling
because
of hatred.
Because he's thinking about Tiki and Toomer.
Yes, like, he's not thinking about Daniel Jones.
Yeah, he's thinking about the losses. That's the point. Like, the losses are what fuel the rivalry. What makes you hate another team.
Isn't that what makes the Braves the hated rivalry?
Yeah,
it's intense.
But rivalries are two-way. Like there are too many rivalries that you're talking about. They're one-way rivalries.
Well, that's what people
But this end of the rivalry matters more when discussing what the biggest rivalry in Philly is the point I'm making.
All right. Thanks,
we
to
did
Elliot.
A good job, ESP. Yeah. Good job today, brother.
It was fun.
Get out of
Hold
here.
On, did we argue?
Nah.
A little bit. Day. You started, then you back right off. You were like, I'm going to ask you. You started.
The right guard draft.
Yeah,
thing.
Started.
Oh,
right
yeah, because that's something you're trying to. Yeah,
but we'll be arguing that in week two when they're 0-2 and they can't protect anybody.
The High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report is next. Thank you, Elliot.
All good.
You can listen
I got a new rivalry, Chris from Middletown.
Yes,
it
I
seems
love
like it.
He's,
yeah.
in my, he's on my radar now.
Yeah.
You can,
that's twice in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's earned it.
You can check out
Historic
Elliot.
Day tomorrow. Everyone get excited.
You can check out Elliot every day on the Go Birds podcast, which comes out every single morning. Get your morning started with 15 minutes of Elliot.
Best way to start the day.
14 more minutes than anyone else has gotten their morning started with
Amen.
Elliot.
Amen.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. All right. The High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report is next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at the Streetlight Kitchen and Bar at Drexelbrook for Tour de Delco, brought to you by Visit Delco PA. Find out all Delco has to offer at visitdelcopa.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.